Praise to the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To us, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Because we are commanded to do so, say rejoice evermore. That's what he says. Pray without ceasing, he says. Blessed, he says that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we worship you for bringing us a new day, a new week, Lord. And we are glad to begin the day, the week, in your name and in fellowship, Lord God, with one another here, as we have all been fellowshipping with you. Lord, we thank you. As we share your word this morning, Lord, as the Holy Spirit will help us, help it to be made together with faith in our hearts, Lord, and profit us today and the days to come. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, the world is changing every day, overnight. No things can happen. See, out of the nowhere things begin to happen, like our brother sharing with us what's going on in Israel and so forth in the past 24 hours or more. In order of the study, they came about over 1,000 Palestinians and mass terrorists and so on, infiltrated the city of Israel, and really havoc, they said, you know, India. Anyway, but the Lord is on the throne. So times, I mean, things are really a prophetic hour, reaching midnight, actually, you know. So this morning, I want to talk about the grace of God, the word of Israel. The word of Israel. Now, let's look at the U.S.
Word. Okay, the word.
The word of Israel. So by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning, let's talk about the USA first and so forth, that you know. I mean, for the first time in 234 years of the history of the House of Representatives here in the USA, its members had never voted to fire their leader in the middle of a term. But on Tuesday, it happened there on October 3, it happened right here. Uncertain times, right? I mean, strange events happening and so forth. like I said on the Wednesday here, just last Wednesday, October the 4th, an Israeli-based group called Women Wage Peace, Women Wage Peace, worked with a Palestinian group, women, called the Women of the Sun. They were all women. And for a major march for peace in Jerusalem, that was on Wednesday, October the 4th. Even one woman from Finland, you know, who was a member of Parliament of Finland, came to Israel and joined this other Palestinian and Israeli women, for the march for peace. And she said something that is, striking. And she said, in Finland, my generation has not experienced war. Although they have seen violence in the private sphere. Then he made one comment here. He said, now when we are seeing Russia's war against Ukraine, you see how fragile peace is. That's what caught my eyes. You see how fragile peace is. Truly enough, 3 days later, part this peaceful march, on yesterday, October 7, 2023, the Hamas terrorist group launched an unprecedented air, land, and sea attack on Israel from Gaza Strip. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu promptly declared what he called, he said, citizens of Israel, we are at war. He said, that is it, that's good. Say we are at war. So this morning, the wars of Israel were documented even in secular, magazines and so on, that you know, but let's just go through this wars, reading some clips and so forth from each war from the day they were make independence and so forth. Number one, 1948 to 1949. Israel's war of independence. On the eve of the British forces, May 15, 1948, withdraw from Palestine, Israel declared her independence. The next day, Arab forces from Egypt, Transjordan, which is also the same as Jordan, Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon occupied the areas in southern and eastern Palestine, not apportioned to the Jews by the UN partition of Palestine. Remember that the whole of Palestine was being ruled by the British. Now, World War II, drained them, the war drained Britain and so forth, I believe for their sin too, for going against Israel. After making the Balfour Declaration, they retreated it almost, I believe they get punished for it. Anyway, so when they left, the UN apportioned certain parts, of the land of Palestine to the Jews, and then part of the Arab to the Palestinians, as well as that, Anyway, so as soon as the British left, of course, Israel declared independence and so for that, the unpartitioned part was occupied by all these Arab people and so on at that time. So anyway, so now Israel, meanwhile, won the control of the main road to Jerusalem through the what they call the Yehuda Mountain or Hills of Judea, they call it. And they successfully repulsed repeated Arabic attacks. By early 1949, the Israelis had managed to occupy all of the Negev. All of the Negev, up to the former Egyptian-Palestinian frontier, except for the Gaza Strip. Okay? Between February and July of 1949, as a result of a separate armistice agreement between Israel and each of the Arab states, a temporary frontier was fixed between Israel and its neighbors. So as far as they got independence, trouble started. They call it the War of Independence in Israel. Called the War of Independence. Since the day they were becoming a nation, there have been war and war and war. Now, what's next war? 1956. They call it the Suez Canal Crisis. Tensions mounted again with the rise to power of the Egyptian president Gamal Abdel Nasser, a staunch pan-Arab nationalist who took a hostile stance toward Israel. In 1956, Nasser nationalized the Suez Canal, which was a vital, and even today, a vital waterway connecting Europe and Asia. Not only were Israeli ships barred from using the canal, even Israel's southern port of Eilat was blockaded by Egypt. In reality, it is France and Britain who were largely owners of the Suez Canal, actually, they were. And those two nations responded by striking a deal with Israel. What was the deal? You, Israel, go and attack them. So they told Israel, to invade Egypt. And when they do, then France and Britain will then intervene. That's the deal they make with Israel. Because they blocked the port of Eilat, they can't do anything with their canal, and it was owned by Britain and France in actuality. So Israel can't go outside anywhere. They can't import, they can't export. So they say, okay, Israel, they told Israel, both Britain and France, you go and attack Egypt, Then we will now come and intervene. And that's what they did. So anyway, so France and Britain, who were largely owners of the Suez Canal, so like I said, in October 1956, Israel invaded Egypt, Egypt's peninsula. In 5 days, the Israeli army captured Gaza, they captured Rafah, and the Al-Arish, they call it, taking thousands of prisoners and occupying most of the peninsula east of the Suez Canal. The Israelites were then in a position to open sea communication through the Gulf of Aqaba. In December of that year, after the joint Anglo-French intervention that they promised Israel, both English and the French, they now intervene like they promised Israel, just go attack Egypt. So, I mean, after all, you are the one most affected now. This cannot be international either, you know, but part of it is your own. So you go and attack Egypt and then we come and intervene, you know, something like that, you know, and they carry out their promise and they intervene and so forth, that, you know, and UN emergency, you know, force was stationed in the area. And Israeli forces withdrew in March of 1957. Egyptian forces, having been defeated in all fronts, dropped the blockade of the Israeli port of Eilat. A UN buffer force was now placed in the Sinai Peninsula. That was the Suez Crisis of 1956. Number 3 war, talking about the wars of Israel. Come 1967, what they call the Six-Day War. Arab and Israeli forces clashed for the third time, June 5 to June 10, 1967, in what came to be called the Six-Day War. In early 1967, Syria intensified its bombardment of Israeli villages from the positions in the Golan Heights. When the Israeli Air Force shot down 6 Syrian MiG, these are Russian jets, right? You call them MiG, fighter jets in reprisal, Egyptian President, that same wicked Nasser, mobilized his forces near the Sinai border. He disbanded the United Nations, force there that were keeping peace in there. And he again sought to blockade the Israeli port of Eilat, again, just like he did in the Suez Canal Crisis, in 1956, right? In May 1967, Egypt signed a mutual defense pact with Jordan, and Israel answered this apparent Arab bloc, because Egypt and Jordan now signed an agreement. Israel saw it as a rush to war by the Arabs and some of that, you know. So this, Israel answered this apparent Arab bloc to war by staging a sudden air assault, destroying Egypt's air force on the ground. The Italy victory on the ground was also overwhelming too at that time. Italy units drove back Syrian forces from the Golan Heights, took control of the Gaza Strip, that we're having trouble today, and Gaza Strip, and the Sinai Peninsula also from Egypt, and drove Jordanian forces from the West Bank completely. Importantly, the Israelis were left in sole control of Jerusalem in that 1965 war. We all know that, you know. Next war, 1973, what they call the Yom Kippur War. 50 years to the date, yesterday, and some of that, you know. The Yom Kippur and some of that, you know. The sporadic fighting that followed the Six-Day War again developed into full-scale war in 1973. On October 6th, the Jewish holiday of the Yom Kippur, that's what they call the Yom Kippur War, right? Israel was caught off guard by Egyptian forces crossing the Suez Canal and by Syrian forces crossing into the Golan Heights. The Arab army showed greater aggressiveness and fighting ability than in the previous wars, and the Israeli forces suffer heavy casualties. The Israeli army, however, reversed many of its early losses and pushed its way into Syrian territory and encircled the Egyptian Third Army by crossing the Suez Canal and establishing forces on its west bank. Still, it never regained the seemingly impenetrable fortification and not the Suez Canal that Egypt had destroyed in its initial successes. The fighting, which lasted through the Islamic holy month of Ramadan, came to an end on October 26, 1973. So it began on October 6, ending 20 days of war. Anyway, Israel signed a formal ceasefire agreement with Egypt on November 11 and with Syria on May 31, 1974. A disengagement agreement between Israel and Egypt signed on January 18, 1974 provided for Israeli withdrawal into the Sinai west of what they call the Nisla and Gili passes, they call it, while Egypt was to reduce the size of its forces on the east bank of the canal, meaning the Suez Canal. And a UN peacekeeping force was established between the two armies, meaning Israeli and Egyptian armies and so forth, and the Arab army. This agreement was supplemented by another one signed on September 4, 1975. On March 26, 1979, Israel and Egypt signed a peace treaty formally ending the state of war that had existed between the two countries for 30 years. Now, under the terms of that treaty, which had resulted from the Camp David Accord, which we all know, signed on September 17, 1978 between Egyptian President Anwar Sadat and the Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin, Israel returned the entire Sinai Peninsula to Egypt. And in return, Egypt recognized Israel's right to exist. So the two countries subsequently established normal diplomatic relations. We know that cost Anwar Sadat's life, right? We know that. So because they didn't like that, so they murdered him. Anyway, that's by the way. Now, next war, 1982. Call it the Lebanon War. On June 5, 1982, less than 6 weeks after Israel's complete withdrawal from the Sinai, increased tensions between Israelis and Palestinians resulted in the Israeli bombing of Beirut and southern Lebanon, where the Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO, had a number of strongholds. The following day, Israel invaded Lebanon, and by June 14th, its land forces reached as far as the outskirts of Beirut, which was encircled. But the Israeli government agreed to halt its advance and begin negotiations with the PLO. After much delay and massive Israeli shelling of West Beirut, the PLO evacuated the city under the supervision of the multinational force. Eventually, Israeli troops withdrew from the West Beirut, and the Israeli army had withdrawn entirely from Lebanon by June of 1985. Again, come 2006, second Lebanon war again. War with Lebanon again, 2006. In July 2006, Hezbollah launched an operation against Israel in an attempt to pressure the country into releasing Lebanese prisoners, killing a number of Israeli soldiers in the process and then capturing two of them. Israel launched an offensive into southern Lebanon to recover the captured soldiers. The war lasted 34 days, but left more than 1,000 Lebanese dead and about 1 million others displaced. Several Arab leaders criticized Hezbollah for inciting the conflict, though. Nevertheless, Hezbollah's ability to fight the Israeli Defense Forces, meaning the IDF, to a standstill won its praise throughout much of the Arab world. They are taking pride. They were defeated, but they were still taking pride. Can you imagine foolish people, right? They were defeated, and they lost thousands of people and so on. They say because they took 34 days, we stand there and suffering affliction from the hand of the Israeli forces, right? And they are still praising them and so forth. Now, so that here we are. So now October 7th, which is now, we are now at the present now. Israel said that it has war after Hamas surprise attack. How they say? The Hamas terrorist group launched an opportunity here, land and sea attack on Israel in Israel from Gaza Strip as of yesterday morning. So here we are right now. So where are we going with all this? Just a summary of the Israeli wars and so forth. So to go into the spiritual aspect of this thing. As we have seen throughout our 75 years of history, God has given Israel great victory over a numerically, if not technologically superior enemy. They were, all the Arab world against a tiny people, but God has given Israel great victory over a numerically superior enemy. This notwithstanding, she has not found peace and rest. No? Haven't found peace and rest. Her enemies surround her on all sides, waiting for an opportunity to drive her into the sea. In other words, to destroy her totally. It is not surprising, therefore, that she is honestly looking for friends right now, all the time, or for peace. In fact, I'm going to quote what their prime minister said in the United Nations, United Nations in September 22, last year in New York. Here is what Harari said, and I want to quote him. I will quote a few lines from what he said, So, now here is what he said. In our 70 years, we noticed the word peace, peace in every sentence. How they are desperate for peace. So he said, in our 70 years, we made peace with Egypt and Jordan. And then in 2020, we made the Abraham Accord, peace with another four Arab states. He said, working with the U.S., we made Israel forge four peace agreements in 4 months with four Arab states. The United Arab Emirates, he said, Bahrain, Sudan, and Morocco. He continued, there is no question the Abraham Accord heralded the dawn of a new age of peace. Notice the word peace, everything he says. But another thing he says, but I believe that we are at the cusp, meaning transition, of an even more dramatic breakthrough. What's that? An historic peace with Saudi Arabia, he said. I said it the other day, about 2 Wednesdays ago, how they are trying to make peace with Saudi Arabia, and he even boasted that about 6 other African countries or something, and we join them as well as, Continue. Such a peace will go a long way to ending the Arab-Israeli conflict. That is in September 22nd, you say all these things, right? Such a peace will go a long way to ending the Arab-Israeli conflict. It will encourage other Arab states to normalize relationship with Israel. It will enhance the prospect of peace with the Palestinians. It will encourage a broader reconciliation between Judaism and Islam, between Jerusalem and Mecca, between the descendants of Isaac and the descendants of Ishmael, the Prime Minister said. Yeah, and then the last thing I want to read for him, he said, and let me tell you, he said, the people of Israel yearn for a genuine peace. I yearn for such a peace, Mr. Harry said. So they are looking for peace. They are battle weary throughout their history from 75 years ago. It's one war or the other. See? Precisely 2 weeks after that speech, War broke out between Israel and Hamas, as we are talking right now. When, as I first said, the Hamas terrorist organization infiltrated an attack on the air, land, and sea. Look at what he said about peace just 2 weeks after. Look at what is happening right now. See? Yes. Okay. Yeah. All I've been reading, I'm just quoting from United Nations that he said it 2 weeks ago or so. I'm trying to let you know. Anyway, yes, America is Israel's chief friend and supporter. We know that. But we also know that many times in the past, in recent past, the US was not able to fulfill our commitment to Israel. It happened when she was bogged down in Vietnam. We know that in the 70s and the Yom Kippur, all that time, I'm telling that, you know. So it couldn't be anything. It was bogged down in Vietnam, I'm telling that, you know. So many other presidents and so forth have played this and that. Even there is not even, even during the time of Clinton, there was something that not, no cordiality and so on. Even between Clinton and then, even between Biden and himself, there is no cordiality as such, really. You know, they are always like this and so on, that, you know. So she also looking for friends everywhere. That's why she's doing what she's doing now. They're looking for peace. So thus, the way, so now because she's looking for peace everywhere, what is the biblical implication of that? What is the spiritual implication of that? Even the U.S., as you support, we know at times they can't meet our commitment to Israel. This is paving way or preparing way for the Antichrist, who will pose as Israel's protector and friend. That is what we are seeing right now, as it's playing out underneath. You know, that's why Sidonie enters Kether, you know, looking for a friend, a peacemaker, who will be our friend as well as, you know. So, Daniel, of course, the prophet. I will repeat again. I think I said last week and so on a little bit about that. We're talking about the great and terrible day of the Lord. So Daniel 9:24 says 70 weeks and the timing. So these prophets are being fulfilled right now. We can enter that 70th week of Daniel any time. You know, the time is right for it right now, for what we are seeing right now. See? 69 of those 70 weeks have already expired, right? When the Lord was crucified. We can't go through all that one right now. Anyway, Daniel 9:24 says 70 weeks at the time that is marked off upon thy people, meaning the Jews, and upon thy holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sin, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal off the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So we all know, and I keep repeating it, the truth never gets old, really. Each week is a prophetic week of 7 prophetic years. A prophetic year means 360 days, not 365 and a quarter, no. Prophetic biblical week is, I mean, year is 360 days. And 37 verse says, and if the Antichrist shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, that is the 70th week, 69 have already passed, 483 years have already passed out of when the Lord was crucified and so forth. And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years into the last 7 year week, he, the Antichrist, shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overstanding of abomination, he, the Antichrist, shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that the time shall be poured upon the desolate. So, what is he saying here? The Antichrist comes, and when he comes, rather, he will feign himself a protector of the Jews. Now the Bible is telling us. He will make a covenant with them during what you always call the delayed 70th week, right, or 7 years. And probably help them in the building of the third temple, the tribulation temple. We call it in Revelation 11. So we know, so 1 and 2 and so on. For a season, he will permit the Jews to worship in their new temple. For a season. This, of course, is the fulfillment of the age-long desire of the Orthodox Jew. And don't forget, this current Israeli government are pro-Orthodox, actually, you know, the Orthodox Jews who are zealous to see the temple to be rebuilt and some of that, you know. So anyway, so they are the one who are longing for the restoration of the temple, these Orthodox Jews and some of that, you know. Since at the present time, the mosque of Omar sits astride the temple site, the government of Israel has always been very careful, and they have no concrete plans as a government for any change about building the temple. As a government, they know it's going to be done, but they don't take any proactive action towards that. Only the Orthodox Jews and so on like that, you know. Why is the Israeli government doing that? For peace sake, you know. Obviously, the government are taking a negative view at the present time of any rebuilding of the temple. Why? Because they think it will stir up the wrath of the Arabs beyond measure. Indeed, the Hamas terrorists duped yesterday's attack on Israel at the start of what they call Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. They call it Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. Where? It said do our own response as the Operation Sword of Iron. So anyway, to see that why the government officials have been very careful over the time of declaring or talking about the temple and so forth, but lately, about a week or so, I think one guy crossed there to make a sacrifice of the temple man, you know. So this is one of the things people believe is behind, where they have been planning this attack for a long time anyway. So the Al-Aqsa compound lies in the heart of Jerusalem's old city, actually, right on the mountain top and on the Temple Mount, right there. It is home to the Muslim Dome of the Rock, which is a shrine. That's the golden thing, it's a shrine, and something like that, you know. And the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That's why they call it the sword of the operation Al-Aqsa sword. That's what, you know, because the cost is that's grand. That's the temple grand. Is what is what they think is causing this and something like that, you know. Or partly really. Clashes are the site. This same temple mass and so forth. In 2021, contributed to setting up a 10-day war with Gaza. That same temple grant. The Al-Aqsa and some of that, you know. It is where all the major Palestinian uprisings have started over the past decade. That same temple mass, the Al-Aqsa and some of that, you know. Because that's why the Israeli people have been so careful, the government and so forth, you know. Nevertheless, we know this thing. When the time comes for prophecy to be fulfilled, the temple will be built. We know that one. No matter what government, no matter what, it will be built. Bible says so. God's prophetic word is inexorable in the fulfillment of Israel's destiny. It is impossible to stop or prevent the building of that temple, no matter what the world says, UN or whatever it is. When the prophetic clock strikes for it to be built, it shall be built. So, let's continue now, wrapping this up just a little bit. So, we summarize their words. Some of that, you know. In the middle of the 70th week, the Antichrist will break the covenant and declare himself to be God in that tribulation temple. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3 says this: let no man deceive you by any means, for that day cannot come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple of God, saying, I'll be showing himself that he is God. So we see that where we are living in right now, so again, the controversy and so on is all about that temple mount. The Palestinians are so forth claiming, they are claiming all these things and so on, that, you know. So we are really at the end time, what we are seeing right now. So, we know the tribulation will be, last week I was listen to the tape that I made last week. I was saying something, I believe I corrected myself. This event will be, the tribulation will be preceded by the rapture of the saints. That is the way, that is the correct order. Although following, I listened to the tape and I was saying that, as if I was saying that the tribulation will be before the rapture, no. But throughout the other part of the message, it was made plain that so the event will, you know, the rapture will precede the great tribulation and so on, that, you know, it's what it should be reading and be saying and so forth, you know. So we know that Israel will prevail again, even in this war. Not only in the ongoing war with Hamas, but always. How do we know? Many, many scriptures. I will just give one of them. You know, in Jeremiah 31:35. And what it says, "Thus hear the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea when it was thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, said the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus hear the Lord. If heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth stretched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, hear the Lord. So we know by the word of the Lord, she will prevail again and again and again. Even when the time of trouble that God spoke about, a trouble that has never been since the war began, in Matthew 24, 144,000, Revelation 7, are with the seed, 12,000 from each tribe, we are told, you know, and they are the ones, you know, that the seed and so forth, that, you know, so God is on our side. God will never forsake her, you know. He has covenanted, and like he said in one place, say, "My covenant will I not break, nor utter the thing which is gone out of my mouth." So in a nutshell, that's the position we are in now, Israel and so forth. So our prayer, like our brother said, we pray for her before we leave here today and so forth. You know, many prayers have been coming in from different quarters. You know, I used to receive many Jesus for the Jew Christian things and so forth. In fact, that's where I hear about the war fall. I got a letter in the morning from the regular Jesus for the Jews. He said, "Oh, please pray for us." I get them every month. They have a letter and so on. Say, "Pray for us," and so on. You know that the war has broken out. The Hamas have been in Israel, and their workers, which are Christian workers in Israel, have been taken captive. Say we should pray for their safety and so on. He says, "Our urgency." Then I let me go and look at CNN. And today, no. That's how I found out about this thing. So we're going to pray for them. Yeah, God make a promise. But we are co-laborers together with the Lord and so forth in all of these things. Well, let us close with this. For the church also, God has told us in Hebrews 13, as you wait for the translation, wait for the translation, God is with the church. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee." Talking to the church now. "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me." Praise the Lord. So, you know, Israel is with us in a great and mighty way. He's just with us in so multi-dimensional way. His angel encamps around you, the Bible says. He dwelling in you by the Holy Ghost, the Bible tells us, and so forth. And Lord says, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So for us, as we trust him for everything we need, let us also always be prepared. I want to finish with Mark 13:32. Exhorting ourselves, the Bible says in one scripture, as we see the day approach, this event are foretelling that the day is approaching. The rapture precedes the great tribulation. We believe that. It precedes the giving of the mark. We believe the church will go up in around the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, somewhere in India. That is where the decline is said to be God in the temple. I mean, the tribulation temple and so on. Mark 13:32 to close this morning. But of that day, and that our knoweth no man, no, nor the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servant, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to wash. Wash ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are joyful because we are children of the day. We are children of light, and the day will not come upon us on our way as we obey the word of the Lord. Oh, we don't want to be like those Jews when the first fulfillment of the overrunning of Israel and the burning of the temple that was spoken of 40 years before, when in AD 70 and so forth, the Roman general came and so forth, the fanatical Jews, oh, the Messiah will save us. Oh, the Messiah will save us. When the Messiah has warned them, when you see Jerusalem encamp with armies and so forth, no, Judas in the house so don't come down there. If you are out of the sea, don't come. But some Christians who have heed the word of the law, they flee to somewhere in Jordan and escape that terrible thing that burned the temple just as the Lord said. Now, O Lord God, now the Gentiles can say, watch therefore and pray on. So therefore, help us to keep our eyes upon the Lord and upon the word of the Lord. Bible says, the Lord himself, one of these days, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise forth, and then we that are alive and remain shall be caught all together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, as many as have this hope in them, purify themselves, even as himself is pure. Yea, so let us keep that for the blessed hope in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, the Holy Ghost couch it in Psalm 27. One thing have I desire of the Lord, that will I look after, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Oh, then he told us in Matthew, seek ye for the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Father, hold on, help us to be alert, to be sober, to be vigilant in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, not only to do like the wise virgins, we go beyond that. The wise virgins were asleep too, but they have oil in their vessel though. So when that group now make that sound, behold the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him, we believe on our heart. Who know the coming of the bridegroom but the bride? She is it that made that sound, and we believe that sound has been going on. I can't also worry to be of them that continually making that sound before the bridegroom comes. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you. We trust you for all we need, Lord, Father. He has given unto us all things, sir, that pertain to life and to godliness. Never see the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Father, we thank you that we worship you. Our God will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord. This morning, Father, as we are here this morning, Father, bless the work of our hands, Lord. As you have promised us, Lord, you say, I will rebuild the devourer, the Bible says, and he will not destroy the fruit of our ground. Open that, O Lord, the windows of heaven for us, pouring out blessings that we shall have no room to receive, Lord. Open to us, O Lord, your good treasure in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we put you forth in all things, Lord. Father, we thank you, we worship you. Thank you for the promise of divine protection in this wicked, adultery, and evil age. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, preserve our going out and our coming in, Lord, and from all evil. Lord, we claim this promise for us and our household. As we serve the Lord, we promise that you will bless our bread. We claim this one every day. Bless our bread and bless our water. He promised to take sickness away from the midst of us. His word shall never fail. He told us, heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. I will not break my covenant. I will not utter the thing that God asked of my mouth. Lord, thank you, Lord. Bless. He said, the word of the Lord, thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So therefore, then with joy, let us gladly tell whosoever will hear us of the hope that dwelleth in us, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the sinner to repent, and for the saints to be encouraged, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling them, see, the coming of the Lord dwelleth now. Father, we thank you for blessing us this morning. As we go now, Lord, as the word has said, we are going to find no favor before whosoever it matters, Lord, in the business place, in the workplace, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have to be glorified in us. Father, we thank you. So we say with the scripture, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.